Discover the Book, a daily look into the life-changing truths of God's Word with Dr. John Barnett. Image is everything. Ever heard that mantra? It's funny, we sort of chuckle at the shallowness of that statement, but in reality, that's very much how we live here in America. How we appear to the world is paramount in our thoughts and decisions. Ever wonder, what does God consider most important? Hello there, my friend. I'm your host, Brian Shoup, and it's my pleasure and privilege to welcome you to the broadcast today. So glad you're here. John has just begun leading us through this wonderful series called David's Spiritual Secret. And today he'll be wrapping up that opening message of the series. But just before John completes this intriguing message, I need to quickly remind you that a free copy of today's message is waiting for you at the website discoverthebook.org. Just drop in and tell us where to email it. Give us your preference of text file or MP3 audio file, and we'll get it sent. Discover the Book is written as one word, .org. And if you'd like to write us a note, we'd love nothing better. Our email address is radio@dtbm.org. We're always so encouraged when we hear what God is doing in your life. That's radio@dtbm.org. Or you can call 866-815-2601. 866-815-2601. But right now, let's get to the book, God's Word. Last time, John reminded us of Samuel's trek to Bethlehem to anoint the new king whom God had chosen. You remember the story. Jesse lined up all his boys on their best behavior, and Samuel reviewed all seven of them. And none of them was identified to Samuel as the king. Only then did Jesse seem to remember that other one, the runt, the youngest one out watching the sheep somewhere. And God's instruction to Samuel was the eternal truth that we need to be reminded of again and again. See, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. David got God's attention, not by his outward appearance. That would have been his big strapping brothers, but rather by his heart, a heart that sought after God. What else gets God's attention? Well, you got your Bible ready? Here to open the book for us is our teacher, Dr. John Barnett.
Sometimes I think it's great to look at the conclusion. So let's go to the last book of the Bible, okay? And the last chapter of the last book, the last words of the Bible. Let's look at the conclusion, because it's very orienting to our lives to look at where we're going to end up and what we're going to be doing and what we're supposed to do forever. And as we're reminded of that, check and see if that's what we're doing now. Because you'll never be in the future what you're not becoming right now. And in Revelation 22, I want to show you, when we get to the last chapter of the Bible, what is the ending? Well, the ending is God, heaven, and one more wonderful reality. Verse 3, God's servants serving him. Look at verse 3 of Revelation 22. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. This is describing heaven. And then here is everything else that matters. And his servants shall serve him. What is it in a person's life, and what do they look like when they have committed themselves to be God's servants? And that's why the most written about man in the Bible is written about. Because we can now, that we've got the big intro from God, God picked him out of the crowd and said, I'm looking at his heart. And when you look at the heart, which no one can see but God, you ask yourself, what was it he saw? What kind of man? What kind of a boy? What kind of a person? Does God see such great things about? What do they look like? How can I be that way? See, that's the kind of questions I ask. I mean, I'm always kind of muttering, out loud and talking and thinking and writing stuff down, because I'm always asking, okay, Lord, why is that in the Bible? What is it you want me to see? And so what does this person look like that's committed to being God's servant? God wants to explain that to us. So let's take it apart. First of all, the first 10 verses. The first thing we'll see that is the characteristic of one of God's servants is that if you're God's servant, number one, God's servants, like David was on God's mind. Listen to this. God uses the unchangeable features of his servants for his glory. What couldn't David pick? He didn't pick what number he was in the rank of sons. He was last. He didn't pick that. In fact, he didn't even pick that family. He didn't pick that dad. He didn't pick those brothers and sisters. He didn't pick that town to live in. Because he lived in that town, he didn't pick his profession. He had to be a shepherd. And in fact, no one else wanted to do it, and they made him do it. He didn't pick that. He didn't pick his ruddy appearance. He didn't pick his good looks or bad looks or height. You see, he was on God's mind. God designed him just for what he wanted him to do. What's amazing is I really believe David was little. Why? Because he's an exact contrast to Saul, who is big. King Saul was head and shoulders. Now, I'm not talking about the shampoo. He was height, shoulder high. This much of him was higher than everybody else. Everybody's head came up to his shoulder in the whole nation. That's what it says in the Bible. He was head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. This guy was a man's man. He would have been the perfect choice. Except his heart was a dwarf heart. And David was not big. In fact, he was a very young person. Some of the commentators believe that when he was anointed, he could have been 10 or 12 years old. When he does Goliath in, he could have been a very young teenager, 13, 14. We don't know. But he was young. He was little. He was on God's mind. And God uses the unchangeable features of servants for his glory. David's family life shows God's grace. He was not the oldest. He was not the strongest. He was not the most likely to succeed. He was overlooked. He was even abused. But what matters is if God has his hand on you, God uses our circumstances. David is the youngest. David is the neglected one. David is unwanted. David is left out. Yet with all that potential life-warping treatment, and a lot of people, their life stops right there. And they decide they're going to let all the neglect and abuse and oversight and problems that they have that they can't change, they're going to let that warp them. And the rest of their life, they are going to be a victim of being left and forgotten. And that's ruined their life. And the rest of their life, they feel worthless because someone left them. Well, David wasn't forgotten. He was made to go out there. I mean, it's worse. You want to really get warped? Be rejected. He wasn't just neglected. He was rejected. But he didn't let that warp his life. David just kept following the Lord that he loved. God's choice of the younger over the elder is just another picture of his grace. Have you ever thought about that? Why did Samuel look at Eliab first? Because God, the firstborn. Remember, they got the bigger inheritance, they got the rights, they got and then everything else was split up among the rest. But God doesn't choose the one that everyone else thinks. Remember, Abel was the second born. Isaac was the second born. Jacob was the second born. Joseph was way past second born. And now David. Look back at verse 11. Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And then he said, "There remains yet the youngest. There he is over there. He's keeping the sheep." You see, David was on God's mind. He designed this to be a picture to us. You don't have to be in the prime spot. You don't have to be the oldest or the brightest or the strongest or the most likely to succeed. All you have to have is what God sees, and that's a heart for him. That's the first thing about God's servants. The second one is God uses the disciplined lives of his servants for his glory. Look at verse 12. David was handsome and hardworking. When Samuel sent for David, they called him from where? Where was David? It says in verse 12, so they sent and brought him in. You know what? Dad hadn't even been paying attention to where David was. Jesse, dad of David. When Samuel came on the spot and says, "Where's your other son?" Jesse said, "Doing what I told him to do. Right over there." How did he know that? Because David was disciplined. David had been given an assignment to watch the sheep. He didn't forget to watch the sheep. He didn't forget it was his turn. He didn't forget it was his day. He didn't forget that was his job. There's something about him that's so simple. David did what he was supposed to do. His dad knew he would be right where he was supposed to be, watching the flocks. By the way, what did David do while he was watching the flock? Keep your finger here and turn back over to Psalm 132. Because if you remember, Psalm 132 is David's meditation from when he was a shepherd boy. And the 132nd is actually David's spiritual secret, his journal, if you were, his diary. History tells us this is what he wrote when he ascended to be king. when David, as Psalm 78 says, was taken from tending sheep to become the shepherd of the people of God, he seems to have written this 132nd Psalm as his kind of like bio or whatever, and God inspired him to write it. Lord, remember David and all of his afflictions, and David went through a lot, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. Now here are the resolves of a youngster that became the greatest person most described in the Bible among humans, okay? Here's his resolve. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord. That's a nice resolve. Have you ever made that one? I might add, I will not park my body and vegetate in front of the television set. I will not invest endless hours watching athletic events. I will not play mindless drivel games of fantasy when I've got the real and living eternal infinite God in front of me and ignore him to do all that. David just had sheep and work, but he says, I will not rest. I will not sleep. I will not close my eyes until I have found a place for the Lord. You know what this is? A holy habit. That's why David was all hung up with making the temple, because he loved making places for God in his life. That's his first resolve. God's going to have a place in my life. That's what a servant wants. A servant's not concerned about themselves. They're concerned about who they serve. He said, I'm going to make a place for you, God. That's my holy habit. God ahead of comfort, the comfort of my bed, verse 3. He had this holy habit of making time for God. Verse 6 continues, behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. What's that? That's where he lived. That's how we know this is talking about when he was a shepherd boy. O thou Bethlehem Ephrathah. He says, we heard about in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go to his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. As a shepherd boy, he longed for God personally. This is almost probably his words from when he used to talk to his brothers and say, wonder how long before Dad takes us up for the next feast. I can't wait to go to the tent. And the brothers went, what's wrong with you? Man, we want to go see the pretty girls by the well. What do you want to go to some tent and see some God? That's so hokey. You know, things haven't changed. David was different. They thought he was weird. Because his resolve was he wouldn't even sleep at night till he found a place for the Lord. He wouldn't lay down. He's out there looking up at the stars and talking to God and praying and all that. He says, I want to worship, verse 7. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. He longed for God. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, to the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Wow. He really thought a lot about purity. And, you know, let your priests be clothed. He was concerned about coming before God and about purity and about being clothed with holiness and righteousness. Let your saints shout for joy. Probably it was pretty dead around the tabernacle in David's time. Nobody engaged in worship, and he wanted to shout for joy. He loved the Lord. Verse 10, for your servant David's sake. That's how he looked at himself. Servant of the Lord, David. The Lord has sworn in truth to David, verse 11. He'll not turn away. I'll set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them. And on goes the rest of this psalm about his coronation. Well, back to 1 Samuel 16. That was David's resolves. That was David's holy habit. That was what David had as a young person. That's what God saw in his heart. David was disciplined. David had thought much in the endless hours during those monotonous times with the dumb, fearful, and easily wandering sheep. He had thought about seeking God ahead of personal comfort. He made time for the Lord. He was a good shepherd boy. He longed for God. He pondered the priority of personal purity. He was strengthened by righteous living.
You're enjoying the teaching of Dr. John Barnett, pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You can learn more about the ministry at discoverthebook.org or just stay tuned till the end of today's program.
But look at the end of verse 12 of 1 Samuel 16. Here's another element. David's life was on God's mind. David's life was disciplined. You know what else? David's life was available for God to use. See, Psalm 132 was David's testimony. He said, David, thy servant. Long before Samuel came calling, Long before the flask of oil was filled and the old prophet started trudging toward Bethlehem to anoint David, long before that, David had settled in his heart, I'm your servant. You know, when you say to God, you're his servant, you know what you're saying? I'm available. You see, David's life was available to God. Do you know why a lot of people will not accomplish much for eternity? They're not available. They're not available. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone who will give their attention to God, and so many aren't available. David was available. God uses the available lives of servants for his glory. David was chosen by God because God is always on the lookout for servants. The end of verse 12, he was ruddy, had bright eyes, he was good looking, and the Lord said, arise him, for this is the one. He's the only one in this family that's available to me. All the rest of them are quarrelsome, selfish, self-absorbed, thinking of their own stuff. They didn't even invite David out of the field. They didn't even care about David. David was just do your job and stay out of sight kind of kid to them. God says, that's the one I want. What is someone after God's heart? They are God's servants. They're in harmony with God. Their burden was what burdens God. When David was sitting out in that field, he was just going, I wish I could be in the tent worshiping God. Oh, I hope the priests are clothed with righteousness. When I was there, if I ever get there again, I'm going to shout worship to God. Boy, the Lord hears those kind of thoughts, those kind of resolves, that kind of a heart beating for him. David was burdened with what burdened God. He was obeying all that he knew mattered to God. In other words, his heart was all God's. I wonder this morning, is your heart for God? Does he have all of it? Is it all his? Have you, as a young person or a not so young person, said what David said? I'm your servant. I'm available. What I can't change what the unchangeable parts of my life. I can't change what family you put me in, who my parents are, what I look like, what size I am. But I can make a choice. I'm your servant. And God says that's all that matters because I'm watching over the rest. And I'm going to use all that for my glory. Second Chronicles, you can just write this down, but I'm going to turn there. Because I really believe this is what happened to David. Second Chronicles 16:9. Says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God's eyes are cruising around this room right now. And God's looking not at the outward, not at who is meticulous, not who has fastidiously gotten ready and just wearing the perfect outfit today. God's looking through the outfit at the heart. And it says, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Because God wants to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Wow. So, back to 1 Samuel chapter 16. David was on God's mind because David was loyal. That's what the Lord's looking for. A servant is loyal. Because Jesus said, no servant can serve what? Two masters. For either you love the one, hate the other, you hold the one, despise the other. You can't serve two masters, Jesus said. David was loyal. Didn't have two masters, himself and God, or his agenda and God's. He was loyal to one master. And the eyes of the Lord will show himself strong. God will find them and show himself. God himself gets on the side of those whose heart is loyal toward God. David was on God's mind. He was loyal. And as later God reveals in Psalm 78, David was a man of integrity. See, that's what's so neat about the Bible, and that's why there's so many chapters about David. Let me read to you what Psalm 78 ends with. It says in Psalm 78, a psalm about Israel and David being their king, he also chose David, his servant. That's Psalm 78, verse 70. And took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes that had young. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. Verse 72, so he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Do you know why God picked David? Because he was on his mind, because he was loyal, because he was a man of integrity. And what we'll see is that David is the same. He didn't have his public church kind of, you know, way he acted, persona, and have a different one when he was out with the boys, out with the guys, out at work, or whatever. He had integrity. There was a real consistency. You see, David had been schooled by sheep, which vary little in their habits. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when they called for him, they brought him from being with the sheep, in verse 11. And he came directly from the sheep, the school of the sheep. And sheep are a great school. They walk down the same path so long it becomes a rutted canyon. Sheep are helpless. They can't even clean themselves. They are dumb. They can't even find food unless they are led to it. Sheep are also dirty. They walk around and collect any and all filth they come into contact with. Sheep are helpless, dumb, and dirty, and can only be cared for by the patient. David was forged by God in the desert as he watched those sheep. Instead of hating every minute of it and saying, this is a dead-end job and I don't like it here and it's such a waste, I'm too talented for this low-end job, it was actually the refining, the proving grounds. It was the school that David had to graduate from to be the shepherd of Israel, to be God's king. If David would have just said, man, I'm just going to blow this place and go hang out at the Ark of the Covenant, the temple, the tabernacle, he would have missed his lessons. He wouldn't have made it. You see, God forged him in the desert as he watched the sheep. His life was trained by solitude. His will was shaped by obscurity. His life was steeled by monotony. His mind was trained by the reality of being out there and having to care for those sheep and not get distracted. When God trains us on the inside, he usually takes his time. So David had to go through this training. Well, look at verse 13 of 1 Samuel 16, and we're trekking through these, and I don't think we'll get through all of them because this is just a very full chapter. The next thing we see about David, God's servant, is his life was empowered by the Lord. God uses his spirit to empower servants for his glory. Never forget that it is God who empowers his servants. Verse 13, and Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brothers. And look at this. And the spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day on. From that day forward. The spirit of the Lord came on him. This is such a picture of the new covenant. In the old covenant, the Spirit of God was not resident in every believer. He was watching over him, but there was not an internal gifting, not an internal wonderful anointing of the Spirit that we have now. It came and it went. Now, some of the super wonderful ones, like Daniel and Ezra, it seems like the Spirit of God in David and others was continuously on them, kind of like on us. They were kind of precursors to us in the new covenant. But never forget, it's God who empowers his servants. The Spirit of God anointed David and anyone else who ever does anything worth anything for God. Nothing apart from God will last. Only what's attached to God will have any value. Do you realize that? Only what's attached to God. Look at the end, Revelation 22. What ends up lasting forever? God and those who were his servants. And they're in a place in his presence called heaven. Only what's attached to God will last forever. That's good. Of course, the eternal, endless destruction that Isaiah 66 seems to imply that we get to see from heaven at some time is going to be present. But nothing that is good that lasts forever is unattached to God. Look at 1 Samuel 16, 13. Once more, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." When I read that verse, you know what it does to my heart? Every time I read it, my heart wells up, and I think always of the same thing. If David is the most talked about person in the Bible, if David is described by God as the servant that did all of his will, if David is described the man that fulfilled what God wanted him to do with his life, and if that isn't the ultimate servant, I don't know what is, and if Jesus said the greatest thing you want to be in the world is to be a servant, and that all happened because of verse 13, and the Spirit of the Lord came on David. Do you know what I think of? I think of these words, Spirit of the living God, what? fall fresh on me. Melt me where I'm cold. Mold me, instead of being conformed to the image of the world, into the image of Christ. Use me, like David. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Did you know that God empowers his servants? Did you know that nothing that matters can be accomplished without the power of God? Did you know that David was available because David said, your eyes are running around to and fro. Here I am. I'm your servant. I'm available. I'm on your mind. You picked who I am. I'm not going to fight against it. I just want you to know I'm available. Whatever you want me to do, I want to serve you. Is that where you've come in your Christian life? You ought to come there soon. Because you'll never be in the future what you're not becoming right now. And if you know already in the future you're going to be God's servant, don't you want to tell him today, I'm your servant. I'm available. I want to do your will.
Thanks, John. Boy, I don't know about you, but this excites me to have a clear direction of how to make myself available to God. Now that's thrilling. David didn't rest until he found a place for God. I need to do that. He longed for God in his life, and I want to do that too. He would consider personal purity. I should do that. He gave great importance to righteousness, and I need to work on that. He saw himself as a servant. Oh, I need to quit looking for people to serve me and look for ways I can be the Lord's servant to them. Practical rubber meets the road kind of stuff. Thanks again, John. And dear friend, if you have never first knelt before the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then that's the attitude your heart should have before any other. Recognize your sin and recognize that Jesus died to pay for it. Run to Him. Cast yourself on His mercy. Bow before Him, and He will make you clean. Do that right away while there's still time. Well, it's been another great day in the book, hasn't it? We're so glad you were here with us today. Hope you'll make plans to join us again next time. And don't forget to visit the website, discoverthebook.org, and our email address if you'd like to let Pastor John know how the ministry of the Word is impacting your life, radio@dtbm.org. And until next time, we'll pray that you will, wherever you are on life's journey, discover the book.